Hi, everybody, and welcome to Unified, a podcast feed from First Church Belmont Unitarian Universalist. We'll be sharing sermons and stories, special thematic content made new every week. We're so glad you're here, and for more information about who we are and opportunities to grow and deepen, swing by the church on Sundays or check out our website at uubelmont.org. And for now, enjoy this new content. I love the part of the reading Gabby shared before the end where it says, "Be your own better self. It isn't without cost, but it will be free." For me, this is part of what I'm thinking this Easter morning as we celebrate this teacher of ours, one prophet among many. We take time on this day and think of this beautiful and complex set of teachings and exhortations. And Easter, just like Christmas, is a bit of a tightrope walk for Unitarian Universalist preachers. Some of you come wanting more Jesus. Some of you come wanting less Jesus. And some of you come wanting no Jesus at all. It's a fascinating thing to serve a community of such theological diversity, and it is a challenge I cherish, in part because so much of the inspiration and guidance that I find in Jesus and his teachings have very little to do with his relative divinity or the details around whether or how he rose on this day so many years ago. And if I'm very honest about it, my guess is that he wouldn't have a lot of time for it either. Wondering after large theological questions, speculating about doctrine in a world on fire with so much suffering. My guess is he would be clear about the priorities before him. You can sometimes see the t-shirt, sometimes a bracelet, WWJD, standing for "What Would Jesus Do?" This is a reminder, a kind of prayerful opportunity to think about how Jesus might respond to the challenges before us. And I think of this especially today on this Easter morning, in this moment of so much war and escalation, with so much suffering, with refugees pouring into this country, with friends and neighbors living lives of desperation and fear, with the war and devastation, with hunger and famine crushing the people of Palestine just a few hundred miles away from the place of Jesus' birth, with Israeli hostages still being held, with so many Jewish families here and far away, having loved ones forced to serve a government they have no faith in, I imagine Jesus would be clear on the path forward, a path of peace, a path of serving the purpose of peace and helping care for all those who are victims of aggression and war in all forms. Next month, all month, we'll be sharing our offerings with the World Central Kitchen, which is helping to alleviate famine, gripping the Palestinian people, among other incredible work. We are so grateful for their work and the opportunity to support them. So many ways that we can help and serve. You heard before about the activity fair coming on the 7th. Please come and explore what is calling to you and thank all of our wonderful volunteers, hundreds of people it takes to do the good work of the church, and there is a place for you within that good work. There are projects and groups around climate justice, around immigration, around voting rights, around membership and welcoming, so many ways that the work of community is done. I have been loving this little red book lately. It is one of a number of Bibles I have in my office, mostly from people who I love. And this one is especially special. It was my grandfather's, and it has his notes and underlines in it. One of the most precious family heirlooms on that side of the family is his mother's Bible, my great-grandmother's Bible, full of her markings. It was the Bible she taught her three sons from. A deeply committed, lifelong Methodist, she taught her sons liberal biblical criticism, encouraging them to dig deep into the text with their own questions. She had passages marked, referring to other passages that were contradictory. So when my grandfather died, all six of his grandsons got a cowboy hat, a bow tie, and a Bible. This was the first bow tie I ever tied and wore, and I haven't stopped since, decades later. But it was only years later that I started digging into his markings and notes, underlines throughout, passages marked, whole lists of favorite psalms in the back, but only one section is marked with a little metal clip. Hebrews 11, from the story before. The classic, which reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." The passage goes on to list the greatest hits of biblical characters and their acts of faith, Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Moses, all of the acts listed, and it's pointed out that many of their projects were not completed upon their death, but they took the leap. They answered the call before him, not knowing the outcome. I think of my grandfather reading those words and marking them, of course, not for me, but for himself, returning to those words over and over as he sought to live his life. This is, for me, one of the beautiful things about our work here. In a world with so little mindfulness toward the future, in a world overwhelmed in this moment in which we seek to cross things off our list while running our fastest to keep up with the pace that we have somehow agreed to, it can be all too easy to forget the world we long to build. It can be all too easy to lose hope that this world is even possible. But here, together, held in this silence, surrounded by this love, our hope returns and our faith is rekindled. When we falter, when our hope dims and our faith is shaken, we have one another. Holding the fullness and the truth of these days, we seek our way forward. With wide open eyes, we see the distance we still need to go to build this world we long for. This world we dream about, this world in which our trans and non-binary beloveds are cherished and welcomed, this world in which the vast numbers of immigrants flowing into this country are cared for and safe, this world in which all people are seen for the singular gifts of their beings, and when this world seems far off, when it seems like our own foundations are crumbling and we are deep in a hole, these teachers, Jesus and my great-grandmother and all of the other prophets point the way. And hallelujah. Hallelujah for the remembering and the rekindling, for the returning of hope and the firming of faith. Hallelujah that hope is not lost, especially this Easter. And this, for me, is resurrection. Not that the body of Jesus was somehow transformed, that the cave was emptied and some extra large miracle took place, but rather that even though the forces of fear and power put him to death, still his teachings rose up and rise up still. This is for me the ongoing miracle of resurrection, that despite the forces trying over and over to extinguish hope and fan the flames of fear, that faith holds us still. That we weave this web over and over, each of us refusing to give up and give in. This powerful defiance this life-giving prayer. This is here, now, and always. And we pledge ourselves to it in the name of all of those teachers and prophets who have come before, in the name of all that is good and holy. This is a bit from a favorite poem from a poet we talked about last week, Padre Gotuma. He writes, "We gather here, a room full of strangers, and speak of our hopeland and talk of our dangers, to make sense of our thinking, to authenticate lives, to humanize feeling and stop telling lies. Here and now, this is how the teachings rise again. This is the substance of things hoped for. This is faith, these broken wings, this learning to fly, this hallelujah, and this amen."